You're tuning in New Sound Radio. Go, go. 92 FM. Go. This is the Community Hour and I'm Pete Dane. Now, East London, I know it's a place that's attracted filmmakers and photographers over the decades, yeah? Of course, yeah, it was the Photo Month East London Festival we reported on last week, didn't we, on last week's show. But what is it that draws people to this part of London? I don't know. I don't know what it is. Let's see, find out about it. So here to look at this and what photography and filmmaking means to them, we're joined out live in the studio by Pinny Grills and Zed Nelson, who are filmmakers in residence for the Lee Valley. Pinny and Zed, thanks for joining us on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, great. Well, I tell you, you've got to tell us what it's all about. What is this residency? What is it all about? Come on, tell us something about it.
Both Zed and I live next to the marshes, which is the Walthamstow and sort of Hackney Marshes end of Lee Valley Park.
Right, kind of our end, really. Yeah,
exactly. And we've always been fascinated with the area. In fact, Zed did a series of photographs about people that he came across in Hackney. Would that be an accurate description?
Yeah, it was a book, about Hackney, just sort of meanderings, 3 years of walking the streets and taking photos. Mm-hmm. So that was published, and then we met.
I picked up his book of photographs, and I thought, this is somebody who sees Hackney in a similar way to me. I'm a documentary filmmaker, and I discovered as well that Zed had also made a couple of documentary films, and we decided to collaborate, and we've become the filmmakers in residence for the Lee Valley Park. So we chose the marshes because it is an extraordinary place. I mean, probably many of your listeners...
It is a special place. What do you think makes it special?
I think it's one of the last or one of the few places that you go in the middle of a city in this sort of urban sprawl, and it really feels a little bit wild.
It does. It's kind of, because it's all kept in the way that like a normal municipal park. It's not.
No,
sort of,
and you know, there's surprises around every corner, and you sort of feel you're sort of out on a limb, aren't you, when you're in the marshes? And it's quite freeing, and I think that attracts people for that reason. You don't feel necessarily kind of observed, or there's not millions of CCTV cameras and wardens telling you what to do and what not to do. So it's a really kind of valuable, magical, odd place.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I find. Whenever I go down, I always seem to find a new bit that I'd never quite discovered before. You walk around the corner and go, I've never been down this path before.
I think it reawakens the child in you, because it sort of almost feels like the possibilities are endless, that you could always find something new. And we found in our walking around that area, we found all kinds of amazing people with incredible stories. And some of them are really quite strange. People who've got stories about, bears, escape bears from the circus.
Escape bears?
Yeah.
Go on, tell us about this. What do you know about escape bears? They're not still down there, are they?
I hope not. We haven't come across them. Okay. I mean, of course, it might be Chinese whispers, but apparently there was in the 80s a group of young boys supposedly spotted a large brown bear near the river Lee, and ran screaming to their mothers, and the police actually got involved and were searching for this bear. I mean, you could say that they were probably, were they making it up? Were they just, but they were genuinely terrified.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the police actually did a proper search for this bear. Mm. Because it was snowing at the time, they managed to find some tracks.
I do remember this. This was around Christmas time, wasn't it? I remember it was that happening at Christmas, wasn't it? It was over that Christmas weekend.
Oh, Pete, are you really that old?
I'm afraid I am. I could go right the way back. Other things as well. What other stories have you come up across?
We've come across kind of characters who are there, for a sort of number of different reasons that are using the space. As we were talking about, there's a lot of history, isn't there, and kind of background to the area. What was the thing about the meteor?
Oh, yes. So, do you mean, the bombing, not the meteor? You got it all mixed up.
There's a bomb crater, isn't there?
There's a place called Bomb Crater Pond.
And is it actually a bomb crater?
Well, this is the controversy.
Oh!
Yeah. And in fact, a gentleman who won't mind me mentioning him, because he's a bit of a sort of local character, he's called Brian Walker, and he grew up along the River Lee, down the Hackney end. And he said that when he was a boy, there was a very large, I don't know the name of the kind of bomb it was, but it was one of those ones that you hear after it lands. Is that right?
It's a V1, V2, yeah, is it one of those?
Like
or,
that. Yeah, some of your listeners may
be a V2, be
remember
a V2.
These bombs. But anyway, one crashed into the
marshes. I'm
not
that old, but yeah, go on.
No, you're not that old. One of them crashed into the mud of the marshes and splattered all the houses within, you know, quite a long way around with mud from the marshes. And made such a big crater that they decided just to make it into a pond. But Brian Walker's brother, apparently, who was quite a naughty little boy, decided to go and find the clock, the German clock from the bomb itself.
Oh dear.
And ran out, much to his mother's, mother's very upset about this, ran out and managed to find it and bring it back to their house, and it was still warm.
And ticking.
Ticking.
I mean, the other thing, there's like, the history goes right back. There's like Viking longships as well.
No, where's the Viking longship?
This is reality.
Right.
I was amazed when I found that story. I thought it was yet another.
Yeah.
And that's what's actually really attractive
where
about
that?
The area.
Where is that?
Trying to disentangle truth from fiction becomes a kind of sport. Mm. But no, they've actually found evidence of these boats. And there's even a one down there, which is, I think, is a modern recreation of one. There's one in the Hackney Museum. And, you know, the Vikings came down the River Lee in these boats.
And in fact, some people joke that there was actually, they held a large part of land around that area, and it was officially Denmark for some time. So we could say that part of the marshes was
And
Denmark.
This is getting weirder and weirder all the time.
We haven't even talked about
UFOs. We're talking about brown bears. We're talking about being a part of Denmark and bombs that are ticking away. No.
Yeah, and that's not to mention another item that you had on your programme a few... Well, how long ago was it, Pete, about the UFOs?
Oh, the UFO story. Yeah, a very popular item that was. Yeah, a lot of people still contacted me over that one. Yeah.
Well, apparently... Well,
the Walthamstow Triangle.
That's right, the Walthamstow Triangle. It's supposedly a hotspot for UFO sightings.
Yeah.
So if there's anybody out there who knows about this...
They could explain the whole thing. They're not brown bears, they're really aliens, And all these things that land, they were spaceships. There wasn't a V2 or anything like that at all.
Bears might have come out of the spaceship.
Exactly,
there was also a wild cat. I think there was a, you know, the Beast of Bodmin Moor that roamed the marshes.
There's always a wild cat, isn't there, out there?
There's always got to be a wild cat.
Yeah.
But also there's serious stories, quite dark tales as well of... ceremonial swords being found embedded in people. And this is fact, although actually that wasn't in the marshes. I don't want to scare everyone off. That was in a nearby park.
Yes, I mean, it's very interesting because there is, you know, obviously we all know that there's a real diversity of cultures visiting the marshes and different people from different backgrounds. And they all interpret that space in a different way. So, you know, they might do religious ceremonies out there, or they might, you know...
There have been some pagan things out there, haven't there?
Yeah, exactly.
I know that has been in the past. I've heard of things like that.
If I was a pagan, that's where I'd go.
And, of course, all the wonderfully colourful artists and filmmakers like ourselves.
That's it, we're going down there,
Doing kind of, you know, kind of weird performance art pieces in trees. There recently was a performance art piece, which some of your listeners may have come across by accident, called the Walthamstow Mysteries, which was... involved telling the stories of the history of that area, but in hanging in trees, you know.
Well, I mean, it was a real theatrical production. I mean, I'm by nature a little bit cynical about some of these things. You think, oh God, it's going to be ridiculous, but it was amazing. You know, it really was amazing. You go there and they're using the whole park as a kind of stage, and you know, a crowd of bemused and bewildered, but kind of really people who were enjoying themselves were watching this performance unfold.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, there really are good things happening there.
Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to make a film. How are you going to go about this? Have you started? Come on, tell us about what this film that you're going to make.
So our residency started, it was kind of the beginning of the summer. And really it's just a way to officially be there with the permission of the Lee Valley Park, who are supporting us. And also kind of, you know, looking out for us because, you know, we've got camera equipment with us and stuff. We just decided that we wanted to start going out there and see just who we met and who we bumped into. And we've filmed quite a number of different characters, but we've sort of decided that we wanted to also put a call out to people in the area who have a passion for this place have an interest in it.
I bet there's some people listening now who've got... you know, they say, that's nothing. What, bears over there? That's nothing compared to what I've seen over there or something like that. Or maybe just a fond memory. Some people have, like, childhood memories. You know, places can... it'd be very important, can't they? Sort
of yeah, even if it's memories. Just people that the area really means something to, or they use it regularly, or they...
Maybe they played there as a child, you know. I mean, it's a place that's potent with history. I mean, it has, you know, underneath, it's where all the rubble from the Second World War, a lot of it was dumped onto the actual Hackney Marshes, which is where they play football, you know, and then they covered it up and made the football pitches and things. I think that's true. But it's got, you know, if you think
I think it's more up towards the ice skating rink, that area. Yeah, right that way.
You know, if you peel back the layer of Hackney Marshes, what is with underneath, you know? I'm an archaeologist at training, so I'm quite interested in that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
The Olympics, when they did that, there was a lot of archaeology stuff went on then, wasn't there?
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's all kinds of things embedded in that soil, but also people's memories. So I want to hear from people about their historical memories.
Somebody's got a story. How can I get in contact with you?
Well, we have a Facebook site that they can reach. It's called The Marshes.
You've only just set it up, haven't you?
We set it up 20 minutes ago.
Really?
well, especially
as we speak. Program. We always get the hot information here on New Sound Radio 92 FM.
But yeah,
I saw you setting it up and we brought you in to interview straight away. That's how we did it.
Hot off the press.
So if you've seen any UFOs, if you've come across any brown bears, if you are friends with a Viking that once lived there, I don't know, whatever the story
might be. Or even if
be.
You're just a normal-ish person who uses the space. Yeah, the Facebook site is called The Marshes
Film,
and you just type that in and it'll come up.
So if you type Facebook, Marshes
if
Film.
If you're on Facebook,
the
yeah,
Marshes,
you type in.
The Marshes Film. Okay. If you put The Marshes Film, you should find our Facebook page, and then you can either message us privately and just tell us your story. Maybe we can come meet you and film you.
Right, yeah.
Or you can leave a little post on there if you just want to start a conversation, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, and maybe if someone's not Facebook friendly, how do they contact us? Can they call the station here?
That might be a bit more difficult.
All right,
when
it's going to have to be Facebook.
Yeah, it will have to be the Facebook page, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. Unless you want to get an email address or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe stick with a Facebook page. That maybe would be the easiest way of doing it. And then you can contact through from there. Yeah, that would be good. And if they're not on Facebook, I'm sure people know someone who is, generally, don't
exactly.
They?
Yeah, fine, exactly. Get someone young and knows
I'll tell you what, we've got to go to the break now. But I'm just thinking, filmmaking, photography, you know, here you are, you find yourself down on the marshes. What is it that's drawn you to this particular area? What drew you to film? You use an archaeologist and things like that. You ended up making films there, and you come down here and there you are making a film about the marshes. What's the one thing that's really drawn you to it? I'm going to ask both of you this, by the way. So,
I think I'm a documentary filmmaker because I'm interested in real people and their stories, and the extraordinary, I mean, the real world is more extraordinary than fiction, in my opinion, and I want to be able to find those hidden stories and share them with people.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, because of this journey I'd been on in Hackney, I mean, I've grown up in Hackney all my life, so I'd watch these kind of commercial interests. You know, you've got gentrification happening all around us, and areas change, and kind of commercial forces are pressurising us into corners, aren't they? And actually, the marshes was very appealing because it's resisted that. It's different and unique. And all around it, you've got these kind of luxury developments and change is happening, but this kind of wild refuge has remained the same.
Yeah, see, I mean, if somebody came down here from the past, from 200 years ago, they'd recognise the marshes, wouldn't they?
I think so.
Whether they'd recognise Hackney, I'm not so sure.
It's
a very special place.
It is.
And needs to be protected to some degree. Well, to a big degree.
Yeah. It's always, always under threat, something like that. Could you just give us that Facebook page again?
It's called The Marshes Film. So, yeah, type it in. We'll try and find an email address for you to contact as well after the break.
We'll do that. Okay. Penny and Zed, thanks for joining us here on New Sound Radio 92 FM. But you won't go away, because after the break, we've got a special report on the Focus E15 mothers. I don't know if you... Do you know about them?
No.
Stay tuned and find out about them. Stay tuned to New Sound Radio 92 FM.
Advertise on New Sound Radio for as little as £10 per day. For further details, telephone 020 8472 9994.